like to talk about brown top millet. Brown top millet is actually a crop, but we have found evidence that it's moving into our cotton fields, soybean fields, and it's now reaching proportions where it can become a weed in our cotton systems. It's originated from Southeast Asia, like many of our grass cover crops. It's and you know, things like kudzu also come from that region. It's a forage, hay, and pasture a crop. The seed is relatively inexpensive. It is a recommended seed and species for things like erosion control and reclamation sites. And what I mean by recommended is that if you go to websites for the Departments of Transportation for the various states, you will find brown top millet listed as one of the species on that list. From a weed control or a weed perspective, you know, what makes a crop or what makes a plant species suitable as a weed? And in this case, it's we have a wide germination window. It germinates about the same time cotton is planted in the Delta. It is a prolific seed producer. Lots of seed heads, lots of viable seed. It has rapid growth. It is competitive to other species, and it has now found a niche in certain crops. This is what it looks like. It forms a dense semi-erect mat, and as you can see all the seed heads there, hopefully. It's a prolific seed producer. Those leaves are about 5 to 6 inches long. The stems or culms can reach 5 to 8 feet long. So this produces these long runners, and as such, it can get into various crops and just lay over the top of them. I said it's readily available. You can get this from a number of seed producers on the internet. It formerly was called Panicum ramosa, but most recently it has been renamed the Urocloa ramosa. It has had other names as well. Sold in 50-pound lots. This is a road edge near our research farm. And for about 9 years, my 9 years down in Stoneville, it's all been Bermuda grass. And this past year, we noticed that now it's heavily infested with brown top millet. Now, this is a west-facing slope, dry for most of the season. And this has now established itself. Now, we still see patches of other grasses in here. But now all along this whole roadside, we see this brown top millet. This is a similar situation. Over here, we can see that the Bermuda grass, a few Johnson grass. We usually would see some goose grass in here or barnyard grass as well. And now we see in this area and all along the edge of the soybean field, brown top millet is now taking over. And it was these sorts of the appearance of these of this species in these areas that was the basis for my decision to actually make this presentation, because now it's becoming fairly well established in these side areas to our growing fields. We also see it around rises. This field here was in corn. It was taken out. You can see some of the evidence of modules being here. So this is about October 1st of this year, and it will grow all along the edge. Drainage obviously is in this direction. And so any seed that is produced can be washed down into the field. We also see it around other irrigation equipment or areas that are not really put into crops. All along the back of this cotton area here, we see that this lighter grass here is all brown top millet. For control, bed preparation in the fall can reduce late season populations the following year. And what I mean by this is that what we typically do is that we hip the old beds and subsoil down the center of the bed and then re-hip and then knock down those beds in the spring. And that does reduce some of the populations in the field. And is also very easy to control. This species is very susceptible to all of our pre-emergence herbicides. And it's very susceptible to glyphosate as well and the post-grass compounds. So it really shouldn't be a problem. So why is it a problem? Well, it can germinate and grow under the cotton canopy. As we approach canopy closure, if there's brown top millet present, it can continue to grow and quite well and to quite a large size under that canopy. It will germinate late into the season. After your last lay-by treatment, if it doesn't include a pre-emerge herbicide, we'll see this germinating if it was in the field previously. And from that time, from lay-by until defoliation, it can get of a size that it can interfere with cotton harvest. This is what it looks like right after a rain. This is about August 15th or so. That's a quarter there in the center. To give you an idea of what the size is, it's very vigorous germinator and it grows very quickly. This is about 3 or 4 days growth in the field. You can see the size that this can obtain. If this was left unchecked by harvest, this would be well into the canopy and then causing interference, as well as adding trash into the cotton as it comes out of the field. Just some data, I don't have too many data slides. What we're looking at here is biomass accumulation since lay-by. We made glyphosate treatments at lay-by, killed everything that was in the field, and then after defoliation, we came back and looked at the field and said, well, we obviously didn't get everything. Well, we didn't think we got everything, but we did, and this is growth since lay-by. Now, how much is this? Under the no-till situation, this is 376 grams of dried biomass, fills a paper sack, grocery sack, stuffed. So that's to give you an idea per square meter. So it's quite a bit of growth in the field. With no-till conditions, we seem to have an accumulation. Pre-emerge herbicides at the beginning of the season do have some effect on reducing that biomass, but when they dissipate, regrowth begins. And then another study with early normal planting, that's early by April 1st versus May 1st, we also see an accumulation under no-till conditions greater than under the other conditions. From these two fields, we concluded that this is probably going to be a continual problem in cotton, and especially in years to come. Now, what does it look like? You can see the brown top millet here growing through the surface of the cotton canopy, and you don't see a very high density here. I mean, you're not going to come in, you're not going to look at this field and call for an aerial application to control this brown top millet. The density just apparently is not there. But then we begin to defoliate, and we see that in this case, these middles are filled with brown top millet. Other rows up here, and this extends is about a 1,200-foot run, and it goes from one end to the other just about. To give you an idea of the height, this is a meter stick. It's about as tall as the cotton stalks, and we see that most of the biomass is below about 50 centimeters, and it is becoming entwined with our cotton stalks. But through the top of the cotton, we see very little growth that we would actually see from the roadside. This is a more serious situation where that brown top millet now has become entangled with the cotton stalks. After burn down, I don't know how clear that is, the brown top millet is now entangled with the stalks, and the stalks are holding up that brown top millet biomass. We can put a burn down treatment on this, but it doesn't melt to the ground, so to speak. It's being held up around the cotton stalks. This is after picking. You can see some of the cotton here that is remaining. And there is some cotton in here. Down here you can see some that just was not picked because of this brown top millet. Also, this is going to add a lot of trash to the cotton. And it's grass trash, and it's going to be difficult to get rid of down the road. Here we see some cotton, again, under the brown top millet. And you can also see the burn down treatment effect, I think, a little bit more clearly here. Well, I don't know how well that projects. We have a green understory the outer surface of the brown top millet has been controlled quite well, but still this inner area where we cannot get herbicide penetration is still green and may cause problems down the road. And this situation here, we have a larger area. We did not have as much lint in the field. We also, if you can see the bowls here, this brown top millet has also delayed bowl opening. And this is probably the worst case scenario. And this is what it can achieve when it is left unchecked. I don't know if you can see it here, but the cotton stalks are right down the middle. There are a few bowls here, but it has been completely delayed in terms of opening, and yield has been suppressed. And through here, I think you can see the cotton in amongst the brown top millet intertwined with the cotton stalks. Now, I want to stress this is not resistant. It just occupies a niche between lay-by and defoliation. If it is detected, I would include a soil residual at lay-by just to control, because any one of our pre-emerge chemistries can control this quite easily. It's likely to be more of a problem under no-till conditions, that seed sits on the soil surface and germinates readily. If we can bury that soil with a tillage, that would help. And it can reduce and lower our cotton quality. That concludes my talk. We use glyphosate, and it's just not that effective under these conditions because of the canopy that exists within the cotton and the brown top millet. It just, you know, shades itself.